Hey, it's Jacob Goldstein from Business History. In our new series, American Genius, we tell the stories of three great writers who changed the way business works in America. Our first episode is about Benjamin Franklin, who, among many other things, was a best-selling business writer. Take a listen.
He's writing this much later in his life, consciously creating this image of himself. And I do want to emphasize how unusual this model is at the time, this self-made man myth, because you don't want to be self-made. It's low class to be self-made. You know, this idea that we have today is the opposite, right? And it comes from Franklin. Today, there is the derisive term nepo baby.
Well, exactly right. And these days, if you are a billionaire, you had better have a Benjamin Franklin story about starting in a garage, coming up with the idea from nothing.
And here is Benjamin Franklin inventing it right before our eyes.
This has been brought to you by Odoo. To listen to more of our American Genius series, listen to Business History. New episodes release every Wednesday on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm John Batchelor, Michael Yon, who's returned from another foray into the triple canopy jungle called the Darien Gap, which is filled with dangers. He's been traveling with two members of Congress, but right now I want to know what he's learned about this increased flow of migrants coming through the gap, a border that is closed, Michael. The center front are competent and extremely rigorous and professional. You've reported that for weeks. If they wanted to close the border, they could. So perhaps the talk of closing the border is political, and it isn't factual. You've met hundreds of migrants coming through. Was there any new detail about where they're coming from? We can name Cuba, we can name Haiti, we can name Venezuela. I know we can name Congo. We've talked about Nepal. Did you meet any new people from countries you hadn't heard of before, Michael?
Oh, so many things. I mean, Yemenis, people from Somalia, Bangladesh, quite a lot, Pakistanis. One thing that was really interesting this time, the doctor from Doctors Without Borders from Colombia, but he was in Bajo Chiquito in Panama, 2 days ago, he told me about, for instance, 10 Indians came in, and they came through very healthy. They were very prepared. They had all the right kit, the right gear, that sort of thing. And they didn't need anything. They still had energy because they came through like a unit, right? Now, we saw also two Cubans. They were young, fit. They had military gear. They had military rucksacks. Their boots were – everything was proper about them. They were in good shape. They were limping, and we chatted with them just for a couple minutes, and they went to bathe in the river. But there's some interesting people coming through here. Like, who are these two Cubans? We didn't have a chance to talk with them much because there was some other things going on. But so there's many interesting people coming in. Russians have come in recently. I haven't met the Russians, but numerous people have told us about Russians coming in. Roughly, I would say 80 countries.
There's trouble in Colombia, lots of trouble. Did you hear of it from the migrants coming through Colombia? Because there's trouble in Bogota. There's been disorder for more than a week now. There's lawlessness in Cali, I believe, or at least Cali is seen as a source of resistance. Did you hear about any of that from the migrants, Michael?
I did, in fact, because Colombia – now, the migrants don't seem to be targeted specifically because of that violence happening in Colombia. But keep in mind, there's possibly 2 to 3 million Venezuelans already in Colombia. And so those are out living on the streets. I've seen them out there living on the streets. Oh, just so many. It's unbelievable. And so many of the Venezuelans are also coming north through Darien Gap. You know, if Colombia collapses, and Senator Maria Cabal, whom you know well, is quite worried that Colombia will go into a civil war. And she sees the same sort of dynamics going down in Colombia that we see in the United States. In other words, trying to split apart ethnic groups, get them to fight each other. There's Antifa down there attacking churches and that sort of thing. So Colombia is really in dire straits.
Let's talk about the medical conditions and the medical care for the people coming through the Darien Gap. the village where they come, the Embera village, they can buy things there. They can also wire for money from their relatives. We know this. We've established it. It's a very sophisticated system. You mentioned Doctors Without Borders. Is there a hospital for the young people coming through who are damaged? Is there any medical supplies that you thought were substantive? I mean, they're going to need penicillin mostly.
Just a small clinic. I mean, and it's a place for fixing blisters type thing. I mean, one Cuban guy that came in 2 days ago, somebody was carrying him on his back. You know, his feet looked like they might need to be amputated. I put a photo of his feet up on Patreon and on Twitter. You can look at his feet.
What was wrong with his feet? What did the doctor say? That looked like a fungus condition, something that had taken hold of him.
Oh, the doctor hadn't even seen him yet because I was on the edge of the Darien Gap right as he came in the village. And so he came in while somebody was carrying him on his back. And then a friend that I was out there with, a former Marine, actually picked him up and then started to walk him off to the clinic. But as that happened, I mean, over like a fireman's carry over his shoulders, the U.S. former Marine. And then as that happened, then another guy was being pulled out of the jungle same way on somebody else's back. But his feet, he had trench foot, but it looked like possibly some gangrene setting in as well, and obviously can be fatal very quickly.
Now, these migrants heretofore, when we last talked, after Viajiquito, they then are taken into two camps near the end of the Pan-American Highway. And from those camps, they're fed, they're cared for. They're then bused by the Centerfront to Costa Rica. Is that still happening, Michael?
It is. In fact, the congressman saw many buses going. They saw the right as we showed up, for instance, a couple of buses were pulling out of the San Vicente camp. And then as we got back from the jungle, there was four more buses leaving the camp. These are giant tour buses, you know, of the sort that take, you know, they're luxury buses, actually. And so they'll take the trip straight up to Costa Rica. They don't stop in Panama City or anything like that. So they're pumping them through here as fast as they can. They have to because the camps are filling up because people are flooding over the Colombian border through Darien. Obviously, many are dying out there, but the ones who make it, they can't keep them here stacking up in Panama, so they're pushing them up to Costa Rica as quickly as possible.
And, Michael, what is your expectation about the migrant flood? Is it predictable? Is it unpredictable? Because when we last talked, it had fallen to a trickle. I think three or four people had come in one day, and now you're reporting hundreds coming in one day. What is the explanation for the extremes of these arrivals?
Part of it's clearly based on rains, rainy season. But now, you know, it's quite rainy here, and the rivers are swollen, but they're flooding in anyway because they see that Biden has opened the floodgates. So that's clearly unprecedented. Nothing like this has happened before, and so now they're just coming in huge numbers as quickly as they can while the chance is there. So that's clearly affected it. Now, the Indians, the Embera Indians, tell me that sometimes, you know, the it does slow to a trickle when the rivers are just so full that there's no way they can get across. Interestingly, the doctor told me, the doctor at Doctors Without Borders there in Viajiquito Village, he told me at one point, this wasn't recent, but there was, I believe, 58 migrants that were sleeping on a riverbank, and the flash flood came and killed, they found, I think, 58 or 59 bodies. Killed all of them that they could find. 58 or 59 that they found. You'll see that a lot of these people coming in don't know anything about jungles. They don't know anything about flash floods, and they'll get out of the jungle and they'll sleep on the riverbanks where it's nice and smooth and open and that. And these rivers are treacherous. This is Panama. It's rainy. There's mountains, and you know the rest of the story. You get swept away with, like, you know, 2 minutes warning, and it's over.
Here's the puzzle, Michael. All those migrants, they have families back from where their origins. Their families will never know. They just disappear, right? That swept away by a river, you would have, there's no idea. You're not indicating to me that there's a burial detail out there collecting identification to send back somewhere in the world. These people are just falling off the map.
Oh, yeah. One Centerfront officer told me that he goes out there all the time to collect bodies. They will only collect the bodies that are very close. They don't go deep into the jungle to collect to collect the bodies. So the bodies that they're collecting are no more than a few hours out there. The rest of them just lay where they die. It's sort of like Mount Everest, except it's the jungle version. So it's, they quickly will melt away and nothing left but bones.
What about the pandemic? Is there a Centerfront was closing the border because of the pandemic. Did you hear talk of it in the village? Are the Ambara worried about it?
Oh, yes. In fact, yesterday, the owner of Tenose Hotel, she died yesterday morning. I woke up, we came out of the village 2 days ago, and then in the morning before sunrise, I got up and the numerous women were crying like crazy, and I was like, that's the cry that people make when somebody died. And I looked into it, and the lady that owns the hotel, her husband's okay. They had both gotten COVID recently and shut down the hotel. If you'll recall,
they allowed you to stay on because you didn't have a place to go. Right.
That's right. So they let me stay there, even though they had to go home with COVID. And then I just came back and the husband was then back there, but she was still at home. And unfortunately she just died. So we made a donation to the family. Oh, it's terrible. I mean, what can you say? I mean, she had told me before that they were diagnosed, each of them, with COVID.
Right, right. So what about the vaccine? Does anybody talk about vaccine in Panama? Do the Ambara have access to the vaccine?
You know, I haven't even asked them because the Ambara don't seem to be too worried about the virus. They don't. They wear masks when they're in town. They certainly do that. But out in the villages, they're not wearing masks or anything along those lines. I mean, they're out there being Ambara Indians, you know. I mean, they bathe in the rivers,
right,
and that sort of thing.
Last detail, Michael, because we'll follow the reporting here. The man from Nepal who you befriended, who lost his mobile phone in the jungle, you had messages from him. I believe he'd reached El Salvador. It was the last we heard. Nicaragua, when we last heard from him. Have you heard from him again?
I haven't heard in a couple of days. Of course, I need to check messages. I mean, we literally just left the jungle and then drove up here, and I've been with the congressman the entire time. And straight up, you know, now as soon as we finish with this, I'm going to start checking messages and see where the migrants are that I've been tracking.
All right. Congressman Tom Tiffany, that's 7th Wisconsin, traveled with Michael and one other member of Congress into the Triple Canopy rain jungle. You can hear the rain. This is rainy season, where people are by the thousands coming through the Panama-Darien province gap between where the highway ends in Colombia and where it begins in Panama to continue their voyage north through Central America to Mexico. And then north is the ambition, north to the Mexican border and into the United States. I think the most surprising thing I've learned from you today, Michael, is the number of pregnant women. Women coming, hoping to give birth, I presume, to their children in America, which would mean that their children would be American citizens if it happens that way.
That's right. I mean, they're very open about it. That they see, they don't hide it. I mean, they're very just clear. Like, they've told me that if I come here, if I get pregnant, then I can get in. It's like the golden ticket. Congressman Tom Tiffany and the other congressmen, they're awesome. I can't believe they went into the Darien Gap with me. I mean, that's not like going to the Texas border. I mean, this is the Darien Gap.
Well,
and they went deep in the jungle and they saw it. And the pregnant women were telling them this.
Tiffany's a dairy farmer kid. He's tough. You understand?
Yeah, I can tell. It got a little bit tough for a while and he never whimpered, man. He's like, let's go, you know?
Michael Yon, patreon.com to see the videos of the congressman, of Michael, of the Ambara indigenous Indians, of the migrants coming through, the pregnant migrants, the wounded migrants. I'm John Batchelor.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.